Michigan State football, John. We're gearing up little by little, sprinkling in football until we get out to Lions training camp at the end of the month. Little time on Michigan. If you missed it, it's podcasted. What do we think for Sherrone Moore's first year? It's a much more difficult question for Jonathan Smith. He's inheriting a program with no identity at a tumultuous time in college football, right? There is a fundamental question about where Michigan State is going to reside in the new hierarchy. The Big Ten's bigger. It's badder. It's going to be more difficult. There's a couple more playoff spots, but you're going to be fighting like hell to get in there. What is the expectation, not in this season, but in this tenure for Michigan State's coach?
My expectation for them is that they're going to be a consistent 8, 9, 10 win team. Now, there's going to be a big difference between 8 and 10 wins, as we had a debate about yesterday. 8 wins is not going to get you into the playoffs, but it will be a respectable record with the competition that is coming into the Big Ten. And I'm not talking about getting an easy schedule 1 year and it being 10 wins. I'm talking about a team that I think under Jonathan Smith, they are, over his tenure, going to be a team that is going to be pressing for 10 double-digit wins on a yearly basis. I think he is what Michigan State needed as a refresh in recruiting. We know that he can attract talent in the transfer portal, and some of that will be the importance of getting wins and attracting teams or attracting players to your program. It's also going to come down to NIL. It's things that we've never had to discuss or consider before, how much NIL is there. And I don't know what the NIL program looks like in East Lansing. It's hard to figure out what it is on every college campus. Yeah. But in regards to a personable guy that has really good football IQ, he has won in some tough places. He won at Oregon State, where their facilities weren't like the ones that he has at Michigan State. Their program didn't have the cachet, the pull of a Big Ten program, of a program that does have, Rose Bowl moments. They've been in the college football playoffs.
Oregon State was still doing construction on their stadium, I believe, as recently as last year. They were nowhere near the facilities of their in-state rival, Oregon. I think the gap facility-wise was bigger in Oregon than it is in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
Yeah, we're not going to do a little brother routine. I think if there was a little brother dynamic, it was bigger in the state of Oregon than it even is here. And he went toe-to-toe and he bullied the bullies. He built a physical football team. I'm excited to see if he can get that brand of football back to Michigan State, where you say, hey, if I can recruit big uglies to the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of Midwest guys who are good, tough offensive linemen. If they can tap into it, it's not going to be overnight. It's not going to be in year one. They're going to have to hit the weight room, hit the recruiting trail. That's the vision, though, is you build a tough football team that can deliver a punch back to the Michigans, the Penn States, the Ohio States. You're not going to win them all. You probably aren't going to win the majority of them. But every 3 or 4 years, do you bubble up to the surface and make the college football playoff? I think that's the expectation for Michigan State, is not every year, but every recruiting cycle, kind of like Tom Izzo would get everybody into the Final Four, get into the playoff and give yourself a shot to make some noise.
Here's one of his best assets is, and the struggle that he is having is very much like when Michigan moved on and they went to Brady Hoke, where you have to repair high school coaches' relationships, especially in the Detroit area, in Southeast Michigan, in the state of Michigan. Not a lot of high school coaches really cared much for Mel Tucker. And now all of a sudden, he is coming in, and I'm telling you, the ones that he has been able to sit down with, get in the high schools, he is doing it the right way. He is first looking in the footprint of the state of Michigan, of Ohio, of Pennsylvania, where there are still recruiting hotbeds, and going in there and repairing relationships. So when, somebody says, hey, Michigan State's on the line. Oh, is that Jonathan Smith? Yeah, I'd like to have that conversation with him. I'd like to welcome him to our high school, to watch our practice, to recruit our guys. That wasn't the case. And he is rebuilding a number of bridges that were burnt down, just like Brady Hoke had to do after Rich Rod. Now, I think the results will be better for Jonathan Smith than they ultimately were for Brady Hoke, because I think he has the ability to bring in a dynamic offense. I think he has the ability to, like you mentioned, build a physical program, and that's what Michigan State absolutely should be, and it's what is going to be successful in the Big Ten. But I think he's one step ahead of where a lot of people thought he could be because he was able to bring Aiden Childs with him.
Yeah, and I think we had a guy call in yesterday and say he thinks they could win 8 games. The win total is 4.5, 5 on some books. I think Childs is an exciting player, but if they don't protect him, if they don't consistently run the ball, he's going to be put in positions where
they're going to be trailing
and he's going to have a lot of pressure. And I don't want to bury this guy. I think he's a really talented quarterback. It may be a situation where you don't get exactly what you want right away, but it sets the foundation for the program because it will be at least interesting to watch MSU football with Childs, and they may be able to pull off an upset this season that invigorates the fan base. John, when you look at their schedule this season, there is a stretch that I think perfectly sums up where the Big Ten's going. And I think you're nodding
your head.
Starts
at the end of September.
Yes, at the very end of September, they play Ohio State.
At home.
Then they go to Autzen and play Oregon. Mm-hmm. Then they get Iowa, which can be physical and tough. It's not exactly a reprieve or a bye week. But that's the easy game because then they go to Ann Arbor, where they're 3 touchdown underdogs, right? And last year wasn't pretty. That is the month of October plus the end of September. That is a gauntlet. That is your life now as a Big Ten team. That's not counting the fact that they avoid USC and Penn State this season. You know, I mean, the schedules are going to be brutal, and it's going to be tough for Michigan State. It's going to be tough for even the Michigans, Ohio States, Oregons, and so on. We did this exercise before the show, and I think it's interesting where Michigan State fits in the Big Ten. Tier the teams out. I think the number one, and do we both agree on these?
Yes. Okay.
This is a unity presentation of the Big Ten tiers. The first tier is Michigan, Ohio State, USC, Oregon, Penn State. Those are the cream of the crop, the best of the best, the biggest brands, the teams that most years will be in the playoff, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, in contention for the playoff.
Yeah, I know they all. Well, you think you'd be a five Big Ten
team? There's a chance it could be a five Big Ten team.
Here we go, egging me on. But most of those teams will be in most of those years. Tier two, Wisconsin, Iowa, Washington, and Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Tier two, I hope nobody gets offended by that. I think that's fair for Michigan State. Tier three is Minnesota, Nebraska, UCLA, and Maryland. And the fourth tier is everybody else. Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers, and Northwestern.
Yeah. What you want to make sure, especially in this expanded Big Ten early on, and Jonathan Smith is going to get a mulligan in his first year, you're going to see times where it's exciting, other times where you're frustrated just because it's a new program, they're trying to gel a lot of guys, but you want to make sure that you at the very minimum stay in that tier two. Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan State, Washington, as you mentioned. And Washington, I think, is going to really struggle this year as well. But if you bump down to that tier three, and with Matt Rhule at Nebraska, does he have things finally going? Is he able to bump up into that tier two? Then all of a sudden, the competition gets even more fierce, and the schedule becomes tougher when you're thinking about playing some of these teams. And I think it's interesting where Maryland is as well under Mike Loxley. A recruiting hotbed. He's been able to keep some of that talent at home. He's had NFL talent. He's had those guys go on. Jayshon Barnum was one of the guys that left Maryland, who I think is a tremendous linebacker. He's now in Ann Arbor, but he does have that ability to attract top talent. And Michigan State has struggled with Maryland over the last few years. Now, new coaching staff, new era. What does that mean moving forward? But you want to make sure you stay in those top two tiers, because if you get relegated to the bottom two, then you start worrying about transfers and attracting them. If they're going to come to the Big Ten, why wouldn't they want to go to one of those other schools? NIL, that follows success.
It goes quickly. Like, success begets success in college football. There's no salary cap, and there's no cap on how many good recruits you can bring in, basically. It's not like, oh, you can only have 5 5 stars or only 10 4 stars. When you win, winning becomes contagious in college football. Losing does as well.
Yep.
You get known as a program that's downtrodden, it's hard to climb up, and I would argue even harder in the new Big Ten. When I looked at these tiers, there's certain teams that I think are on the edges. So Penn State, to me, can never win the big game. they're tier one, but if they never win the big game, they could find themselves in the Wisconsin tier in the new more competitive Big Ten. I think a team like MSU, you're right, is tier two right now. If they get this hire wrong, we were saying nice things about Jonathan Smith. If he's a disaster, if they can't get it going defensively, if they're just beat up in the trenches and he never gets his footing, they could fall to tier three. A team like Nebraska, which is in tier three, historically is capable of so much more. They have a soft schedule this year. Yeah. They've got Raiola at quarterback. Could they get back up to tier two? There's going to be some movement and shaking that happens with the conference. I mean, none of this is settled. It's all new.
Well, and so if you look at Michigan State's schedule, and this is where I'm not going to get too far away from this team possibly being an eight-win team this year. Two of their first three games are should be wins. That's FAU and Prairie View.
Yep.
I think the first big test comes in week two for them. They are on the road at Maryland, a team that I just talked about that is able to attract some top-end talent under Mike Loxley. And if they can go 3-0 in those first three games, which I kind of expect them to do, if you have a playmaker in Aiden Childs, you should be able to win some of those games like that. And then they go to Boston College.
Go get it. First-year coach there, Bill O'Brien.
And so, in a team that's very much down,
yes,
they could be 4-0. Now,
by the way, great road trip to take if Spartan fans go. Chestnut Hill as the fall leaves just start to turn in late September. But you could be 4-0. The tourism board? No, but I've heard it's an underrated college football place.
But then they go through that four games. And let's just say, and please don't hit us with, they're no good. They're going to lose all four. If they were to go 4-0 and end up 4-4, after that stretch of Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan, they have Indiana, bottom tier, Illinois, bottom tier, Purdue, bottom tier, Rutgers, bottom tier.
Yeah.
They could be an eight-win team.
It would require them in year one to beat all the bad teams, have no hiccups, no setbacks. 8-4 is maybe the ceiling.
And I think that is the ceiling. But I think with Jonathan Smith, what I know about his reputation, what we've seen him do, I'm not going to say that's not a possibility.
Some ticket texts coming in. We'll read those coming up next. The question of what is Michigan State's expectation? Not necessarily this year, although if you want to provide it, we're not going to hang up on you or anything like that. So what we want to know is bigger picture, though, the expectation for Michigan State. I say not the playoff every year, but every 4 years, every recruiting cycle, be in that tier two Big Ten, be competitive, hold your own, punch back against the big boys, and have some breakthrough seasons.